Okay. I'm Wilma Payne, and I teach at City College. I teach music. I teach generic music, you know, like music appreciation and theory. That's my basic courses. But I have been in the community, in the Chinese community for, oh gee, over 30 years. And I'm quite active in the Chinese community, organizing programs, particularly musicians to perform on streets of Chinatown. Yes, I organized them to play there last year. And during the SARS 3 years ago, and Chinatown was abandoned, what happened was I personally engaged, you know, pay for the lion dancers to perform every evening to drum up people to come back to Chinatown. At the same time, I organized musicians to perform in a particular spot, and the musicians, they chose to play in front of the Golden Dragon because they like that spot, and also the owner or the manager, Golden Dragon, they really, you know, he really liked them to be there. And Tim Lee was the manager of the Golden Dragon. So I know the music very well, and we do perform also. Last year in 2004, we performed at City College. I asked them to accompany me to play some, you know, Cantonese music, and I sang some folk songs for the concert. I speak Cantonese and I speak Mandarin, but I grew up in San Francisco's Chinatown, so naturally the Cantonese is the main dialect here. Well, I consider myself more American Chinese. But I have a very mixed background, and I lived all over the map. When I was a child, we lived in Melbourne and Sydney, Australia, but my family always spoke Cantonese. And then I grew up in Hawaii. In my sort of my background, I could have said that, you know, I never really was interested in Chinese, but I was intensively interested in the Chinese culture and the Chinese language and history. And I immersed myself in this particular culture, Chinese culture. And when I graduated from high school from Hawaii, I came here to San Francisco. Without my parents' permission, of course, they didn't like the idea, but I wanted to come here to study, to be in the community. So I guess one of the very few back in the 60s, 70s to do this, expedition, because I think, you know, most of the people were more involved in the Western culture, and Elvis Presley, and I really wanted to be in the community, and I've done a lot since then. And the community really knows me well, and they know that I do, you know, care about them. I sing, and I used to play several instruments like guzheng and a little bit of the yangqin or the butterfly harp, but since I've been involved in so many other things, that what I do is just like gave up my instruments, but I still sing. Yes, mainly lately is the Chinese instrumental ensemble, I call them, to play at the Golden Dragon. And now they do play on Saturday nights at the night market. And I think the night market should stop in December. However, they've been doing it for a while. And sometimes I place them on commercial alley on Grant Avenue. And I'm thinking about in the near future, maybe next summer, if I get enough money, that I like to probably have them play the St. Mary's, you know, old St. Mary's Cathedral on a regular basis, like maybe twice a week. Yes, Fred Fung and Wu Wei, you know, who plays the erhu, and there are others like Lawrence Lee, who plays the pipa, And it's more like whoever is available, whoever is interested. Well, I mean, they do have many different names. Like they if it's Lawrence Louis, he calls it music gathering. And there was a guy named Michael, a Door Dog Ensemble. And but see, I think there's no real solid group. People do join in when they can, and they form different names. And that's not the issue. They play mainly Cantonese music, popular music, and not lengthy opera, but excerpts from the Cantonese opera. Fred is quite versatile. I mean, he plays other types of music, but the other musicians they play a lot more Cantonese, in the Cantonese style. And what's the difference? There is intonation involved when there's a yangqin. Not so much a yangqin, but the erhu, the two string fiddle. They make the intonations a little bit different, say, from the regular, maybe classical Chinese music. Okay, Yong Choi Hei, that's one of the tune that I know they play, and I can sing to that tune. That is, it's probably more in the 50s, 60s era, the Cantonese tunes. It's not really old music, because that time in Hong Kong, that's probably the golden age of Cantonese opera. And because of that, and there was a composer named Tong Dik Sung, he wrote beautiful opera scores and beautiful lyrics. And after the 60s, 70s, it began to decline. But at that time, during the 50s, 60s, 70s, there were quite a few Cantonese tune written with Cantonese favor. Because I think at that time, the Mandarin songs predominantly from Taiwan, and it's hard to translate Mandarin songs into Cantonese. So the Cantonese, it kept a separate category, and they write their own lyrics and own songs. And instead of avoiding translating the Mandarin's pop songs to Cantonese, and it didn't work. For the longest time, it was thought, Cantonese could not sing any of the standard Mandarin songs. However, in the 80s, all of a sudden, there was a Sammy Hui came out with some popular Cantonese tunes. They're not Cantonese traditional bass music, but regular pop songs. And he became very popular in Hong Kong. Consequently, after the 80s, Cantonese pop songs became popular. Now, this is a separate category. However, nowadays, still playing the Fred Fong and Wei Wu, they play the traditional, I call it traditional, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, like Thunder in a Drought. This is probably more traditional type of music, and Yong Choi Hei, the one I mentioned, quite popular and set into Cantonese lyric. It goes something like this. Remember, this it's called Yong Choi Hei now. Da di da 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 da. This is very Cantonese folk or opera tune, so it is still very popular. It's a separate category from the music nowadays you hear. It's more like I wouldn't say Michael Jackson, but so it's just regular pop songs. So the one I demonstrated is more semi, you know, opera in the 50s and 60s. It's probably reconstituted. You know, it's not something brand new. I would say it's probably I'm stick to my stories, the 50s, 60s, and there was Lui Mansing, this guy who composed quite a few tunes and is still very popular today. He is not somebody goes way back, it's 50s, 60s. If the older tunes back in the, like, say, the 40s, there's a famous opera singer, his name is Sweet Gok Sin, that is probably not really heard today. It is a different period, and that is probably the golden period of Cantonese opera. They're not arias. They are, you know, simply some excerpts from the operas that he used to star in. So it's something like "But Guayas," that means the wife is one of his favorite. I've been talking about famous opera. Is the wife is a victim of the mother-in-law's dominance. So, and she's very sick, and so, and the husband is caught between pleasing the mother and loving his wife. So something like it's but quite, and it's a tragic story, but it was very popular in the 50s and 60s. Now, this generation, I don't think it's heard too often. Some of his tune, I know the musicians still play. That's probably the in the same period. Yes, this is probably a little more recent. That's the one, Yong Cui Hei. That's the one I'm talking about. Fun Fei Man Lei. That's more in the 60s, in the 60s tunes. That is, I would think they're all from the same period. They're not something really new. Now, maybe this one, Wang Qiuguan or the Princess Wang Zhaojun is a standard throughout China, and the Cantonese love that particular tune. It is more, this is, I would say, goes way back. You know, the tune is supposed to go back to about 2,000 years. That's the Han Dynasty. It was written by the princess named Wang Zhaojun, and she is one of the four beauties of China, you know, throughout history. And she happened to be the most patriotic of beauty. She married to Mongolia in order to save the kingdom. And this one, I would rather think that is in the ancient tune. It was supposed to be composed by her, and it's a very well known tune. A bit on Wong Pei Pa Zon Ne Ma the Bun Na Ngo the Bun Ngo Yap Sok Fong. This is it's more in the sort of ancient style, I would probably call it, and it's probably northern, and it's transplanted into the, you know, Cantonese tradition. Cantonese have, you know, just take tunes from different areas and make into Cantonese music. Well, it's probably more still picking opera, you know, still haven't really divorced from the Peking opera yet, and they base a lot of the like Yi Wang, the so-called Yi Wang is a standard passage of the music. It's based on Peking opera, and Hong Kong and Canton, since it's, you know, situated closer to, say, Western culture, and the rapid development of, and also the influence of Western music, like the English and the and others, made Cantonese music, even opera, more adaptable to different regions. And see, while Peking opera has not changed that much, the tradition is still there, and I don't imagine that they would, you know, take a saxophone and play in the Peking opera. But Cantonese opera, yes, you see other instruments like, you know, flat guitar sometimes used. Whatever sounds good to the Cantonese, it goes. And sometimes, you know, you can hear a tune in the 50s, 60s put in, "Oh, Susanna," you know, even Western tunes. So Cantonese music is probably more like, I would equivalent to jazz. So something that you take something and then you make it into the music, the Cantonese music. While other region like Kunqu and Peking opera, I don't imagine that they do things like that. Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, yes. And and I know I've heard the Cantonese opera used tunes like "Oh, Susanna," "Clementina," all that. It's just whatever the composer, which is not known a lot of times, added to it and make it, you know, a nice tune. Yes, yes. I mean, well, that's probably if in China, it's a very popular tune. Yes, even "Jingle Bells." Oh yes, you know, and especially "Auld Lang Syne," you know, yeah. But they change the lyric and make it into, you know, Cantonese music. The let's see, I can sing or Clementine, "Xiu Xiu Gu Neng, Xiu Xiu Gu Neng, Wan Chou Fa Lam," something like that. The little maiden with the flower basket, something like that. So. Right, offhand, I can't really recall the lyrics, but they can even make some funny, like "Oh, Susanna," well, anyway, I can't remember the lyrics, but it can, you know, very funny, can make it the very funny lyrics. And however, Cantonese language is difficult language to translate. You can't just take a Mandarin lyrics and sing it in Cantonese. It doesn't fit. The language is very tricky to sing in. Oh, I can tell you a story. The tune "Jasmine," it's a very popular folk tune. And this particular folk tune is used actually by Puccini's theme song in Turandot. That's a story in turn of the century. It's actually a folk tune. However, when the immigrants came to this country, some of these laborers, you know, casually when they were working, they sing something like this. That's the Cantonese version. And the white workers didn't know what they were singing. They asked them, "What is it?" They couldn't tell them, you know, express them what song it was. They probably don't even know what the origin of the song. Ah, that's the national anthem of China in the Qing Dynasty. Well, no, this particular tune called a folk tune called "Jasmine." I think I read it somewhere that when Puccini was in New York premiering the Butterfly, and I think he heard from a jukebox about this particular tune, he fell in love with this particular tune, and then he used this tune to write his very last opera, an incomplete opera, Turandot. No, I'm telling you another story, because back in the late 1800s, so the Cantonese laborer came to this United States in a separate story about the same time, and they were singing, you know, humming this particular tune. da 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 di da 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 da. This is the Cantonese version. Di da di da di da da da. So and a pretty tune. What is it? They couldn't answer it. The person who asked him or them. Oh wow. Okay, they make the jump to the conclusion. It must be the national anthem of China back in the 1880s. You understand? I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. So this is the Cantonese version. Like if it's the versions we hear today, the folk song version is. That's probably the version Puccini heard. And so Italian, it goes from Chinese folk song jump to Italian. So this, they talk, Bridget Nielsen came out and sing this music. It became Italian, you know, based on this song. Throughout Turandot, you hear this tune over and over. It's a theme, the theme song of Turandot. But the other story is that the labor came, you know, came to the United States, and the Cantonese, had their own version, you know, similar, based on the same tune. Something like that. So, yes, turn of the century, because I think Puccini died shortly after he finished the opera. But another note is that the subject of Madame Butterfly was based on a Japanese woman and a Cho-Cho song, or the, you know, fell in love with an American sailor, and it's that's based on Japanese music. But the Turandot, his music is based a lot on this particular tune, and Turandot was never that popular until the 1990s, when China, when the opera was premiered in Beijing and drew the record attendance in Beijing. And since I teach music in the college, so Madame Butterfly is not politically correct music, but Turandot is. You know why? Do you know the story of Turandot? Well, see, throughout history, Italian or Western operas, there is something, always a woman who is dying for a man of love. But, you know, that's probably one of the themes of different operas. And women's group is, oh no, we got to choose an opera that is different. And the story of Turandot is that the princess, a Chinese princess, would only marry somebody who could guess her three riddles, and if you did not guess her, riddles, too bad, your head would be rolling. So what happens? The story is that one Persian prince, guessed the riddles, but the story is that, hey, women do have power. So anyway, so this is. This is something I'm sidetracking the story of opera. I don't know, but I think even in Canton or in Hong Kong, it's the preferred probably the recent version. And opera was dying, but in San Francisco there is a flip side of the story, because when not so much immigrants. I'm talking about the wealthier class who settled in San Francisco. The wives here, they probably I wouldn't say bored, but they go into singing operas, hire musicians in a music club, and do it regularly and sing their favorite tunes or opera arias. And so there is something in San Francisco, you can see, you can catch the opera performed by local Chinese here. It is because the wealthier class, the Cantonese from Hong Kong, there's something to do. Years ago, housewives used to play mahjong. I guess, you know, they got out of playing mahjong and want to sing Cantonese opera now. And so the musicians do, you know, can make coffee money, I would say, you know, living out of accompanying singers. That it's a very active scene in San Francisco's Chinatown. But not so much with Fred's group. I think Fred's group, they play traditional Cantonese music, not necessarily opera arias. There are opera clubs in San Francisco, such as Waverly Place, and Sacramento below Grant. And during the day, you may hear music there. It's probably housewives. They get together, hire musicians, and spend the day entertaining themselves. Well, not very sketchy. I know there is the principal of Cumberland Church that's he records, or he probably most knowledgeable about Cantonese music. Not so much Cantonese music, but there is another category called chants, and he is authority on Cantonese chants. And chants is a little different. They're not exactly set to music, but chants are a story told by storytellers back in the maybe 1930s and maybe before the before television or anything was invented. And back in the village, and these especially women, they were not able to read. It's the only form of entertainment. They hire a chanter, and chanting the story. That's a slightly different from music. But I can give you the name. Let we tai du ha, gong o nang du ne. This is a dialect in the Siap dialect. It's half singing, it's chanting, you know. It's considered chanting. Is the range is not exactly, you know, have a definite range. It's according to the language. Hong sen look sen siu sen wa len si siu to the gi fan e wa. This is probably more folk the way I do it. But the chant, I do have a huge collection of the chants, and they I was really hypnotized by that, because the story is very very fascinating. You know, it comes in volumes from reading the book, like, you know, telling the story to especially illiterate women. What is it? Yeah, it's and there is something like going back to rap is in the opera is I'm going back to the same story was a sitgok scene, you know, the batguai, and the mother-in-law tells the woman, it's like maybe said to get lost in plain language, mo sam yao hei mo sam yao fong nan ta a ga so lei. So this is more within the opera. It's got rich recitative. So that's more in the opera. It's not really heard in Cantonese music, But the music you're talking about, Yong Choi Hei, The Green Willow, is probably newer version of maybe some reconstructed tune in the past, but it's not a single tune I can say that is sung today. The older version of Cantonese opera, if I can remember, it's no longer really heard. And see, people like to do things they like to do, and maybe they like to hear what they want to hear. So, you know, so it's not something like, you know, the Cantonese is not a very traditional group. They stick to the traditions. Let's put it that way. Well, to tell you the truth, I do sing, and I do sing in different styles, and I sing in the probably more, if I sing more in the pop style in the back in the 1930s and 40s, based on a singer called Zhou Xuan in Shanghai, and that's my specialty. Shanghai, this particular singer, so happened that the Cantonese love her song too, and they incorporated it into the Cantonese repertoire. It goes something. Not jazz, it's probably, and this particular singer has her own very typical style of the Jiangnan, which is Shanghai greater area. It goes something, and I know the Cantonese love this tune. Was it? Tin ya ya hai chao ni ya ni chi yin. This is probably more the not Cantonese, but Shanghai style. But the Cantonese really like this particular style, and they put, you know, Cantonese lyrics to it. After 9/11. The Chinese or the Asian Americans never really pay attention to American patriotic songs. At 9/11, so the Asian Americans were very afraid of being profiled, and we want to be seen as patriotic. All of a sudden, one day, you know, I was asked by the Chinese radio station to do the Star Spangled Banner in American the Beautiful. And they just love that, you know, song. You know, the first time, you know, heard an Asian American singing the Star Spangled Banner, and I got requested, you know, a request to do a CD to do American patriotic songs, and I've been known to sing the Star Spangled Banner very well. As a matter of fact, the 49ers put out audition last couple of months ago, and I submitted my application. Out of 700 applied, I was one of the 30 finalists to sing the Star Spangled Banner. So, you know, I mean, I do all sorts of things, and my interest is basically, you know, split head. I do Chinese and I do, you know, American. And so I was telling Michael that when I go to Shanghai, this with Newsom, I got request to sing I Left My Heart in San Francisco in Victorian costume. So anyway, whatever, you know. Oh, no, in English. Sure. You know, I can do it in Chinese, because years ago, before George Corey passed away, he's the composer of this tune, he asked me to translate into Chinese, and I did sing it in Chinese, talking about 20, 30 years ago. But, you know, I have forgotten how I sang it, but, you know, and I'm trying to refresh my memory before I go to Shanghai, and then I'll sing it, you know, in Chinese and in English.